Give a little time for the child within you. Don't be afraid to be young and free. Undo the locks and throw away the keys and take off your shoes and socks and run you.
It's Jordan, Jesse Go. I'm Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart.
Jordan Morris, boy detective.
It's very moody in here this evening,
yeah,
Jordan.
Yeah, an evening record.
Yeah, this is a rare occurrence for us. And Colin, the senior producer here at MaximumFun.org, well, I'll give you a little background, Jordan.
Please.
Oliver Wang,
mm-hmm.
Dr. Oliver Wang,
sure.
of Pop Rocket,
mm-hmm.
is a whiny baby.
Okay.
He didn't like the light in the studio. He felt it was too harsh.
Sure. So, now, I would, if I was less enlightened.
Yeah.
If I was a, you know, some sort of Neanderthal chump.
You would say it was because he was a coastal elitist?
I would maybe say he should change his name to Oliver Pussy. But, because I...
Number one, pussies are strong.
Pussies are strong.
Everyone knows that pussies are strong.
They can push out a baby.
Yeah.
They create life.
Yeah.
So me calling Oliver Wang...
Yeah.
Oliver Pussy...
Right.
...would be incorrect.
Right.
So I'm not going to do it.
I'll call him Oliver Dong.
That's cool.
Yeah. I mean, it doesn't really rhyme or...
What about Johnny Chode?
Yeah, sure. Let's call him Johnny Chode. He's a great guy, Oliver Wang.
Sure.
But he felt the lighting was too harsh.
Mm.
So senior producer Colin Anderson, I'm here at MaximumFun.org, went to a bazaar in Bangkok
mm-hmm.
and purchased an LED light that goes into the hanging industrial lamp inside of this studio that has a remote control, like a little remote control, mm-hmm. like on a Bose Wave radio.
Sure.
That changes its colors, and we went with a kind of lilac.
No, it's nice. Are you sure that Colin just went to Bangkok for this lighting rig, or do you think he also slipped in a little sex tourism?
I can only presume that he slipped in some sex. I mean, he's happily married. But
sure. Well, you know.
His wife could have come with him.
Went in Bangkok.
Bang some cocks.
Sure. Why
what
not?
They always say.
Why not?
I think that's what they always say, Jordan.
I also think they say that. So anyway, yeah. But it's nice. I like it. It's got a nice vibe. It's not a black light, but it does feel dormier in here.
Yeah, I feel like I am recording a Lenny Kravitz album right now.
Cool. Just close your eyes and imagine those sweet guitar solos.
We have some things. Before we introduce our guest, I think we have to address some things from last week's mm-hmm. episode. Martin O'Malley dropped out of the race.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was because of the flurry of Octonauts-related corrections mm-hmm. that he received on Twitter.
For our guest and new listeners,
yeah.
You know, the worst thing in the world, I think we can all agree, the worst yeah. thing in the world above, you know, genocide and famine
right.
is when you...
Wasting
speak,
diseases.
Speak off the top of your head on a podcast
yeah.
about something that you kind of sort of know about
yeah.
and then get a flurry of corrections on Twitter.
Yeah.
So to, you know, kind of make us more productive and to kind of, you know, make our lives easier, we have people direct their comments to various presidential candidates.
Right.
It was Ted
so
Cruz for a while.
If you have a correction for us, it was directed towards Ted Cruz.
Mm-hmm.
We wanted to be bipartisan, so now we needed to direct them towards Martin O'Malley.
Mm-hmm. But now that he's dropped out,
we're going to have to pick a new presidential candidate.
Yeah. How about this? Let's ruminate on it.
Okay.
Maybe get our guests to weigh in once
yeah,
we introduce them,
idea.
Which
that's
we have not.
Idea. That's a good point.
And then by the end of the show, we will have figured out a new candidate to, you know, to bother every time we say something about, you know, DC Comics or Stax Records that you think is incorrect or,
right.
you know, we didn't give the gravity it deserved.
Exactly.
So.
Booker T and the MGs.
For instance.
The Octonauts,
mm-hmm.
I said, were a family of underwater bearmen
mm-hmm.
that did explorations. Okay?
Okay.
I asserted that they did not live in an octopus house
mm-hmm.
and that one of them was probably a squid.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? The information that Martin O'Malley has received on Twitter mm-hmm. is as follows. There are 8 octonauts. The one that seems like a squid is, in fact, an octopus.
Mm-hmm.
One of them is a turnip.
Mm-hmm.
And several of them are other animals. However, I refuse to accept the validity of the other animals. I insist I'll accept the turnip
mm-hmm.
and I will accept the octopus, although I question the logic of having an octopus-themed group in which only one of the members who is not the leader is an octopus.
Sure.
He's just coincidentally an octopus.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but those things having been said, the rest of the creatures are bearmen.
Okay.
That's confirmed by me looking at my children's toys and identifying. I know the difference between a bearman and not a bearman. It's a bear-like man. There's a variety of types, but could be a sun bear.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe technically not a bear. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I think those are marsupials.
But the point is,
again, we'll figure out who to bother with that later.
And okay, number two. Apparently, they have 8 pods in the octopod where they live. Now, in my defense, I try to avoid watching this show. I just sort of overhear it from the other room sometimes. It's really important not to watch shows with your children.
Sure.
You don't want to guide them through it or something.
You don't want to – I mean, you don't want to know what kind of messages and values they're getting. You want that to be a surprise.
Yeah, exactly. It's like if you gave your mother her Mother's Day present and you hadn't wrapped it.
Mm-hmm.
You want them to have that moment of, what is this?
Sure.
And then they figure it out. That's how they become
So you
want
to, like, just gradually find out, maybe a couple years down the line when your kids are, you know, 6, 7, you're like, oh, you're very religious.
Yeah.
Apparently, we were setting you down in front of some evangelical Christian shows.
I just thought that was stories about vegetables.
Yeah, no.
Yeah.
No, those tales.
Yeah.
Those tales were about more than just vegetables. But
in my defense,
Christ's love.
The octopod, as constructed for the home enthusiast, I know this because I put the fucking thing together, has 4 pods. I don't know if you're supposed to buy 2 and glue them together.
Yeah.
There are definitely 4 pods.
Maybe they're selling the pod. Maybe this is the racket here.
This is like a 2-foot-high octopod, by the way.
Sure.
This is not some pocket pod.
Mm-hmm.
This is a huge thing that I had to bring home in the car from the Bay Area after Christmas, fully assembled.
So maybe
– and it has 4 pods. I recounted.
Can you buy – is this a, you know, remaining pods sold separately kind of deal? If you want to complete the Octonauts Podtorium, do you have to send away for the other ones?
You think I'm going to get some kind of Octo catalog in the mail?
I don't know. I'm asking.
Am I going to write away to L.L. Bean's signature?
Sure.
Their heritage brand.
Nice denim octopod.
Yeah, flannel.
So here's mine. And I don't want to, you know, we've given a lot of time to the Octonauts.
Yeah.
But, so your complaint.
We are sponsored this week by the Octonauts.
Sure.
The British children's television show.
That may or may not be religious. Hard to say.
Yeah. Could no way to know.
So your initial complaint that started this discussion was what? Can you refresh us?
Yeah, I can. Here was my complaint. There's a plot line on this show where one of the characters goes inside what he believes is an underwater cave, and it turns out to be the gaping maw of a whale shark. My assertion here is that whatever kind of training you have, and I'm sorry to yell, Jordan.
Sure.
You know that I hate yelling, but this really gets my goat.
Sure.
This really gets my goat, Jordan.
Yeah. Well, and you're fully erect, too. I can see it. You are having some sort of anger boner.
I am long and proud.
Sure.
Hard as a diamond.
Yeah.
Whatever kind of training you receive in order to become an octonaut, and I'll grant you, I do not know what the training is, but one presumes that there's some kind of training course.
Sure.
Even a correspondence course should give you the basic skills to identify the difference between an animal's mouth and an undersea cave.
So, do you remember? I was just playing devil's advocate, always the peacemaker. It's tattooed across my back.
I think playing devil's advocate is the opposite of being a peacemaker, but go ahead.
I'll do either. You know, when in Rome.
Sure.
Do you remember what my potential explanation was?
Yeah. Well, you said that they could have been – it was a vast and gaping maw that they could have been swept in there thinking that the whale sharks could think that they were krill.
But also maybe I had a more practical – storytelling explanation. Do you remember what this was?
You gotta save the cat.
Well, partially.
Is that what it was?
It's an old screenwriting trick when you do the pilot of a TV show.
Right.
a lot of times.
Right.
I mean, and I've written a lot of pilots in the day.
Sure.
Two Guys, a Girl in a Pizza Place.
Right.
The Single Guy.
Yeah.
After MASH.
Yeah.
These are all of mine. I write the pilots. I write the pilots and I leave. I get
the
out of there.
The Tortellis.
I get out of their house. That's one of mine.
Sure.
The pilot of a TV show, a convention that is often used.
CSI Milwaukee.
Is you bring in, you know, especially when it's a workplace, which I think The Octonauts fundamentally is. It's a workplace show.
Yeah, that's true. Right.
You
I remember we talked about that. We compared it to Mary Tyler Moore.
You bring in a new hire. Mm-hmm. And so you show them around.
And they're sort of an audience person.
They're an audience circuit.
Right.
So they learn about the world as you are learning about the world.
Right.
I'm on the Octonauts wiki here.
Okay. Can you give me a URL for that?
Yeah, it's octonauts.wikia.com.
Got it.
So if anybody else wants to visit out there, it's a lot of fun, very informative.
Is it safe for work?
So, yes. It's yeah. This looks good.
Yeah,
you
can see.
You know,
job.
There's some side boob here, but.
Got it.
You can just, I mean, there's side boob on a HuffPo, you know?
Yeah.
Episode one, series one. This is a British show, so they call a season a series.
Right, sure.
Episode one, series one, mm-hmm. Octonauts and the Whale Shark. When Dashi is swallowed by a whale shark she thought was a cave, the Octonauts venture inside to rescue her. So, maybe somebody was a little hard on a little children's television program that apparently has airtight storytelling.
And that show is called Paw Patrol.
Sure.
Should we introduce
anyway,
our guest?
Yes.
She's been waiting so patiently.
Right.
You know her as a beloved stand-up comedian, television writer, and personality. She's delightful. She's charming. She's wearing a varsity jacket. Mm-hmm. I'm just trying to paint a picture for people here.
Yeah.
The wonderful Sarah Schaefer. Hi, Sarah.
Hi.
Thank you so much for your patience.
That was
to
a
get
longer
that. I
didn't
than
know
usual. This was an Octonauts fan podcast. I didn't know.
Oh, I'm nothing if not
well,
an Octonauts fan. That's a double negative.
Let me just say what the experience was like for me just
please,
now.
Yeah.
There was a slow, you know, when you like. And just like the slowest of something coming into focus.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Like something's coming at you from the distance and you don't know what it is.
Sure.
And slowly you just pick up
like
different
a Spanish
clues
galleon.
And you're like, oh, it's a horse.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know what we were talking about at first. I didn't know if it was
right.
a band.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't
right.
know if it was the name of your fans,
sure.
Octonauts.
Right.
Like I literally had no idea. And then slowly I was like, oh, I think it's – oh, it's a toy.
Mm-hmm.
No, it's a show. You know?
Yeah, yeah. Well, I'm glad that you can eventually.
I figured it out. Eventually.
Yeah, sure. You're an and audience. You're an audience surrogate in
yeah,
that way.
I have heard of Paw Patrol.
Okay.
Good for you,
the last
Sarah.
Last thing you said.
Wait, why have you heard of Paw Patrol?
My nephew, my 3-year-old nephew, watches Paw Patrol, and he gets really excited. He'll go, "Paw Patrol, Paw Patrol."
Yeah,
it's really cute.
That sounds very cute.
It's got a pretty cool power pop theme song, Jordan. I think you might enjoy that.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, it goes, Paw Patrol, be there on the double.
Oh, yeah,
you know,
he
that's
sings
a,
that. He's, and his version is very intense. He's like, Paw Patrol, be there on the
double. Sounds like a Cheap Trick B-side.
Yeah.
He's a little smash core. I don't know.
Sure. How much time with this nephew do you spend?
Well, he now lives in Virginia, which is where I'm from. And
Northern, Southern, Central?
Central, Richmond.
Mm-hmm. Richmond, Virginia. Mm-hmm. Tribute to the great, beautiful city. Great tribute to the Civil War.
Mm-hmm. Capital of the Confederacy.
Yeah.
People are like, oh, that's not – Virginia's not really Southern. I'm like, yes, it is.
I've been to Richmond, Virginia.
Yeah.
Beautiful city.
But, they used to live in Arizona. And I have – my two sisters also live in Arizona. And they've got all – there's just a whole bunch of kids.
So did this nephew move to Richmond just of his own accord?
Yeah. He's alone there. Uh-huh. He just wanted to start anew.
Just making a life for himself.
Sure.
Yeah. No, he's got his brother and his mom and his dad. And his dad is my brother. And then they are about to have a little sister, too.
That's going to make three.
Yeah.
Little sister makes three, it sounds like.
It's an exciting time over there. I was just there for 10 days in January. It was fun.
Plus they got Paw Patrol.
They got Paw Patrol.
Does he have a favorite? Probably Rubble, right?
I don't go that deep.
It's probably Rubble.
You don't know the specific names.
Well, he doesn't. I'm sure if we sat and watched it.
He's a construction
dog. But like you, I let them watch TV alone.
Yeah. It's for the best.
Sure. Let them watch the Beavis and
Butthead. They don't want you in there.
My kids mostly watch Arliss.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's like 75 or 80% Arliss.
You know, that's probably tough because, I mean, as a big Arliss head myself, mm-hmm. I signed up for HBO Go.
Right.
Because I wanted all that Arliss at my fingertips. Mm-hmm. I mean, mm-hmm. I'm talking not only at home, on the go, on mobile, on my iPad, on my iPhone.
Right.
I want to be able to boot up an Arliss.
Right.
Wherever I'm at.
Right.
Not on HBO Go.
There's a separate Arliss app.
Oh.
You didn't get the Arliss app?
Sure. Arliss Now.
Arliss Now.
Now.
Yeah, it was a similar, it's like a 360 deal. So they got, it was FX Networks bid on Arliss. So they got not only the rights to rerun it on television, of course, on the Arliss network, but also there's the standalone app. It's a multi-platform standalone app. There's a website. And they have the touring business for Arliss Live.
Sure. Arliss on Ice.
Arliss on Ice. Is it holograms or is it the real cast?
Oh, Robert Wool tours with it.
Oh, that's great.
But the rest of the cast is holograms. And
they're all dead.
Yeah.
Yeah, boy. Tough living on the set of Arliss. A lot of coke, a lot of late nights.
Yeah.
And then you got Arliss Land in Dubai.
Mm-hmm.
It's in the United Arab Emirates.
Sure.
Yeah. The UAEs are real into Arliss.
They love Arliss.
United Arliss Emirates.
Although,
the United Arliss Emirates.
To be fair, if you go to Dubai right now and you say to people, you know, what's your favorite television show, franchise, universe, you'll get a lot of people will say Arliss. And I'm not trying to contravene what you're saying, that it is very popular. But significantly more popular is Dream On.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
So, like,
love me some Dream On.
Yeah, I would say that mostly it's like 70 Dream On, 30 Arliss.
Mm-hmm.
The king of Dubai now is this guy from Dream On.
Yes, that guy.
I keep forgetting
that would have worked a lot better if I could have remembered his name.
Yeah, it's weird, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, and they can have people's hands cut off.
Yeah, it's so funny.
Yeah.
Hilarious.
Kings.
I saw the Queen of England on the Antiques Roadshow yesterday.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Wait, she was personally appearing on it?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Is that to the UK like Obama doing a Funny or Die video?
Yeah.
I think that's so charming and like down to earth.
Yeah, I think so. They showed her a few objects and walked her through. It was now, Sarah. The UK Antiques Roadshow, the real Antiques Roadshow.
See, that's the thing. I've never seen the UK Antiques Roadshow. Where are you getting all this UK content? Where are you streaming it? Where are you streaming it from?
From the charlatans, I guess.
Sure.
Is it something you don't want to admit?
Do you live in the UK? Do you commute here from...
Are you an illegal alien?
I got a great cable package. Let's say that.
Okay.
I have a really good cable package, and that's how I get most of the television shows I watch.
Okay.
All right. I think you commute here from Wales.
No, I watch it on MLB.tv.
Oh, good. Yeah. You can stream
it's a little
that.
Workaround you do.
Any out-of-market game.
Sure.
Or antique valuation program.
Sure,
British
from
version.
The UK.
British version.
And I actually got an add-on for Undersea Bearman, so...
That would be great if the Queen just had, like, an old pinball machine she was trying to sell. just shoves it in. Anyway. That's a lot of fun. Do you know, guys know they still make new pinball machines? I went to a pinball area.
No, they don't.
They have a Game of Thrones pinball machine.
Can we back up for a second?
Yes.
Pinball area?
Yeah. You know.
Is that an area of the city? I don't know.
Yeah, the pinball district.
It's out in the Nevada desert.
Yeah. It's right next to
a secret government installation. Oh, right they don't to, want you to know about it.
It's right next to Kick the Can Alley, just like 70s children's games.
Well, I mean, I could see, number one, I don't think Kick the Can was something that was going on in the 70s,
were kicking cans.
Really? As late as the 70s?
Absolutely.
I was kicking cans in the 80s.
You got to kick cans in the 80s.
You kick the can?
The cans were different.
What part of the 80s did you grow up in? Hobo times?
No, I was all of them.
Manchester in 1927?
I was born in 78, so I had the full 80s experience.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They have a game.
I think, okay, I would say that downtown Los Angeles could very well have a pinball district. There is that Bong Street.
Yeah, there's Bong Drive if you want, like, if you need.
That's New York City has a lot of those little, like, it's the Diamond Alley, and then there were places I just called, oh, that's Shoe Row. That's where all the shoe stores are.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah, I think that's
very
great.
Uniquely New York thing.
I love it.
I just want to use that bong district so bad. I don't know when I will have an excuse to get wholesale bongs. Maybe like for my wedding, wedding gifts, maybe like centerpieces.
Oh, that would be nice, like with some gardenias.
Yeah.
Some really sticky buds.
And just give everybody a little piece of cheesecloth.
Uh-huh.
And it's tied at the top with a bow.
Mm-hmm.
It has me in the name of my beloved, whoever that ends up being.
Whoever that may be. It could be Sarah Schaefer, for all we know.
Well, let's listen.
A lot would have to happen.
I hear wedding bells ringing.
A lot of steps.
We're having a lot of fun.
What's that sound?
And I don't know how she'll react to this idea of the centerpieces, which is kind of a deal breaker for me.
Okay.
It's going to be a deal breaker.
All right,
so
well,
if
we'll
you,
get through it.
You know, if you're not nuts about it, this ain't going to happen.
Yeah.
Sorry. Do you have a little cheesecloth?
Yeah. Mm.
Tied at the top of the bow.
Mm-hmm.
It's at everybody's seat.
Mm-hmm.
They undo the bow. Mm-hmm. Cheesecloth, unfurls.
Sure.
Got a little jar of bubbles.
Uh-huh.
And they're going to blow those when we go to our car because it's more environmentally friendly than
rice.
Right,
birds could grow in them.
Yeah, birds could choke. And just all the carbs, and I don't want that for the birds.
Right.
They're trying to slim down.
Yeah, they got a P90X.
Sure, yeah.
Can I just say, have you ever been part of the bubble send-off at a wedding?
Oh, I've been part of many bubble send-offs.
It's terrible.
What do you not like about it?
Because they never work. They don't work. Bubbles don't just come out. Everybody's like, it's just liquid. It's like they're spitting. It's awful.
People just spitting
just
at the bride and groom.
Dripping.
Yeah.
Hey, what kind of wedding are you going to where the guests can't handle something that my 2-year-old can do?
Okay. Let's talk about when you take the wand out of a bubble thing.
Wait a minute. Did shit just get real?
Yeah. Are you blowing a bubble immediately, a perfect stream of them? No. You got to get it going. Nobody's doing it at the same time. It's a fucking mess. It doesn't work.
Well, I mean,
I think sparklers is the way to go.
No, I think sparklers are fun.
Sparklers is magical.
Sparklers are fun. But I think with a bubble, I mean, I think the ones you're getting in bulk for wedding,
get a bubble machine.
No, that's probably fine.
That's what you do.
I guess these are probably not very high quality.
Right.
But, I mean, with bubbles, it's all about the speed at which you dip and blow. It's a slow,
delicate.
Yeah,
and nobody's going to do it at the same time.
Well, maybe they should fucking learn how to do it. I don't know.
Oh,
I don't know.
You get your old elderly aunt to, do it right,
well,
and everyone's yelling at her.
Ethel! I don't think it's the – listen, I don't think
guys,
it's the old people.
We don't need to
people.
Yell about this.
I think it's the goddamn millennials.
It is.
You think millennials can't handle
it? Because they're too busy.
All they believe in is video games?
They're too busy poking and twitching.
Right. Twitch.tv.
They're too busy twitch.tv and streaming their Rocket Leagues and Mario Makers.
Watching vines of...
Of a biracial teen pissing in his Air Jordans.
Yeah.
That's what vines are, right?
Yeah, tripping over his Air Jordans. But continue.
Well, I've seen some different vines. They're a lot of fun. I think as, we all grew up with the simpler pleasures. We know how you just slowly dip a bubble wand
kick
into
the can.
Delicately.
Hooping.
Anyway.
Hooping
so
a
the
stick.
Cheesecloth unfurls.
A hoop and a stick. Hooping is when you put things up your butt in prison. Sorry about that.
Sure.
Hoop and a stick. Chasing hoops with sticks is what I wanted.
So you got this bong as the centerpiece.
Okay.
Cheesecloth unfurls.
Right.
A little thing of bubbles.
Right.
Little baggie of potpourri.
Mm-hmm.
Some dank nugs.
That sounds really nice.
And while we're having our first dance, everybody fucking just takes a huge rip. Just takes a fucking rip.
Just pulls a fat rip.
Just pulls a fat rip.
Yeah.
We're talking.
The sound all at the same time.
Yeah.
And you dance to that. You dance to the sound. Whatever the
but if people can't get the bubbles together, how are they going to pull those rips?
Well, we're not going to fucking invite dorks to our wedding who don't know how to take fat rips.
Yeah.
I'm speaking on behalf of my future wife here.
Okay, yeah.
It's like we don't want anybody at
our
wedding.
And her aunts and uncles.
And her aunts and uncles. She can't pull a fat rip or play a riff. You know what? I'm going to make this
fat rips and sweet riffs.
Sweet riffs.
That's the theme of Jordan's
fat rips.
Wedding.
Fucking go on our web, our wedding website.
You know who the wedding band is, my friend? The Doobie Brothers.
Oh, yeah. Ha!
Oh, yeah. I love the Doobie Brothers.
Love those Doobs.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to be a beautiful night. We are going to be so
Boss
baked.
Skags in there.
Yeah. Yeah, can they maybe get the Doobs to play some Skags?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Do you think the Doobs know any Skags?
The Doobs will bring in Skags.
Yeah.
I think Boss Skags has toured with the Doobs.
Mm-hmm.
They're friends. They like to hang out at each other's summer homes. And if you go see them at the Mountain Winery, you go see the Doobies at the Mountain Winery, Boz is going to come out. He's going to...
Yeah, he'll sit in for a couple.
Yeah, they, hey, boys, want to play JoJo?
Yeah.
And they'll play his hit song, JoJo.
Sure.
Yeah.
Boz gags, ladies and gentlemen.
So, Sarah, you prefer a sparkler as the wedding send-off.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like a... You're running through, like, an archway of... You know, a human archway of sparklers, and you know, it's a bit of danger to it.
Yeah, you might get singed.
Sarah, are
magic.
Are you married yourself?
I am not currently married. I was married. I did have a wedding. We did not do that.
What were some of the things that you did on? I like to say it's the bride's day.
Mm-hmm.
You know what
sure.
I mean?
Yeah.
From my perspective, it's your day. Mm-hmm. When you're getting married, it's your day.
Well, and, that's the lie. But
if you got married again, what would you do differently?
I'm not
also?
Getting married again.
Never.
No.
What if you fall in love?
I'm in love.
Hmm.
I would get married legally if there was an extremely good reason, but I have zero interest in ever having a wedding again.
You didn't like having a wedding?
Oh, I loved it. It was magical, but it was magic, which isn't real. Here's the thing. I just don't believe in for myself that I need that in my life anymore. You know, I grew up fantasizing about a wedding. And even though I was like a very independent woman and like thought of myself as like really feminist, even from a young, young age.
You paid your own bills.
Yeah, absolutely. Right. And I...
You flew across the Atlantic?
Yeah, mm-hmm. I flew a solo flight. And I murdered several men, but
yeah, they had it coming.
I haven't gotten them all yet, though. So kill all men, but
not sure.
But no, the.
Which, just a quick question.
Yeah.
Do you plan on killing us before this is over?
We'll see.
Oh, we'll I like see. That. that is a fun element of surprise.
Yeah.
Will I be murdered?
A real ticking clock.
Yeah, sure.
But yeah, I really believed in the whole like soulmate wedding thing, the traditions and all that. Then it didn't work out. And I realized I'd put a lot of stock into something that I let movies and society and, you know, Arliss especially.
Sure, yeah.
Really like
to a certain extent, HBO is real sex.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And thinking that my value was tied up in being loved by a man and having the day of the wedding was the proof of it. Isn't that weird? It was like the proof that I'm a valid person. And then realizing like, oh no, this has nothing to do with my humanity and validity of like these trappings of, I mean, I still love going to a wedding and I love love, but I get really squeamish now. I'm embarrassed when I'm at a wedding. I'm like, oh, my God.
Because
like,
you know that it's just going to end in divorce?
Yeah. No. No, not that. It's more about, like, when people are doing things, I can tell, like, they're when they've just done the thing, whether it's like, oh, I have five bridesmaids and then there's five groomsmen and the bridesmaids are wearing the same color dress or they're wearing the same exact dress. Like, all those things, I'm like, you didn't think – that has nothing to do with your relationship with this man.
Sure.
Like, these are just things and trappings and, like, and especially when the relationship isn't solid. Like, those things, I think, you know, they say the bigger the wedding, the, like, less likely they're, like, a legit relationship. But I don't really believe that. I mean, I had a very small wedding, but it was very grand.
I went to huge wedding in my wife's family. Monstrous. This had to be a $100,000 wedding.
Mm-hmm.
that literally the marriage fell apart within 6 months.
Oh, my.
Like a monstrous wedding. Easily the biggest
That's
wedding
bad.
I've ever been to. Mm,
that's bad.
Yeah.
That's bad.
Basically immediately thereafter.
I waited 3 years, so, you know.
Yeah.
At least, you know, no, there was no expectation to return the gifts or anything like that. Thank God.
Yeah, geez. So what would you do without that stand mixer?
Well, that's...
It's got attachments. You can make sausage.
I think that's one of the... I was trying to write jokes about divorce for a while, and some of them stuck and some of them didn't. But one that I never really fully developed was about, like, part of the pressure. Like, one is... It's two things. One is, like, you got up. It's embarrassing when you get divorced because you got up in front of everyone and swore to God and all these people that you would never leave this person forever. You would never leave him. You know at your age that you know what's going to happen. And I know I'm never leaving this person. It's never going to end until one of us dies. And so then it's like really embarrassing when you like and everyone pays you with gifts. Like, here's a Dyson. Like, now keep your fucking promise.
I gave you a Dyson.
Yeah.
You got a Dyson? I don't mean to.
Yeah, got a Dyson.
It seems like your friends are some high rollers.
It was family. But
But yes,
family.
They are high rollers.
Yeah, my family's not high rollers. But
well, they got Dyson money, so they're doing something right.
And then my other joke about it, which audiences get nervous when I say this, I'll be like, you know, people ask me, like, did you know when you married him, you know? It's like women always asking me that because they're fucking scared they're going to marry the wrong guy. And they're like, did you know deep down that it wasn't going to work out? I'm like, yeah, part of me did, probably, but I didn't recognize it at the time.
Sure.
There were things that were wrong with our relationship, but I didn't know they were deal breakers because he was my first boyfriend that I'd ever had. So, like, I really didn't know what I was doing.
Sure.
And now that I'm in a long-term relationship with a guy that I really love, I realize there's something that I would do, and it's, here's how you tell if you're with the wrong person. Close your eyes and imagine them dying. And if your feeling inside is overwhelming relief, you're with the wrong person. Because I would have, like, you know, you just – I'll, like, imagine – I'll just – you know, you just have daydreams that are, like, compulsive. Like, you didn't put it in there. You weren't like, I'm now going to imagine death. It just – you just imagine something, like a car accident happening or whatever. I would, like, just have a – flash of him dying, and then I'd be like, well, then I could start my life over.
Oh, good. That would be fun.
And everyone
that would
feel
be
sorry
fun.
For me. Yeah. And I'd meet a new man, and we'd fall in love, and you know, just fucking crazy shit. Now I understand murder. Now I understand, because, you know, women, I would say statistically, this is me inventing a statistic,
sure.
But I think most women who murder are murdering a husband. And that's because we have set up this institution of marriage to be so fucking important that it would be easier to kill the guy.
Sure.
Because they always, like, I watch a lot of, like, Discovery, like, murder TV, like Discovery ID, and lots of Dateline and stuff. When women kill the husband, they're always like, she just wanted out.
Yeah.
And it's like, did you not hear about divorce? It's possible. It's very acceptable these days.
And you don't have to crush anyone's head with a brick.
No, you don't have to try and get away with it and all that stuff.
Do you have a plan for how you're going to murder us at all?
No. I've never really thought about murdering someone. I've imagined them dying in an accident and then being like, oh, that would be great. That's so fucked up.
You know, a funny thing about dating into your 30s is how quick you sit down with someone and have the where do you stand on the big social norms conversation.
Oh,
like that I feel like you will have over this second dinner. You know, it's like, well, what do you think about marriage and
kids
and
stuff? Because why waste time?
Sure. Yeah, exactly. You know? Has that been a weird thing to talk to somebody about? I have been married and I don't want to get married again, and maybe you'll be disappointed, but here's that.
Oh, no, because there was like a year and a half, 2 year window of me being single between the divorce and my current boyfriend, and during that time, I learned very quickly. Like, I was really naive. I just, like, had never dated. I learned was learning a lot of really crazy lessons very quickly.
Sure.
One of which was don't talk about the, like, and the fucking tragedy of your divorce
sure.
for an entire first date. Like, I really didn't know.
Yeah.
You know, I was like, and then I was like, looking back, I was like, oh my God, I fucked that up. But, you know, I didn't really get far enough with anyone for that to, I mean, I would just be like, yeah, I'm divorced and it fucked me up and I'm just like living my life. But then when I met my current boyfriend, I had already figured out that I didn't want to get married again, and he had no problem with it at all. And I always remind him, I'm like, do you understand you hit the jackpot? Like, I don't need an engagement ring. I don't need you to propose. But don't, like, take advantage of that. Like,
sure.
You still could do something really big for me. I would fucking love it. Like, but you now know you don't have to do it. So, like, maybe do something. Like,
So the jackpot.
Yeah.
Don't got to buy an engagement ring.
No.
You don't have to buy, you know, pay for a huge splashy wedding.
Yeah.
And you're bringing your own Dyson.
Yeah.
You're bringing a Dyson
to
the
table. Oh, no.
Who's your lawyer?
Really
you got
sad.
Fucked.
I got fucked.
Did anyway. You get to keep the stand mixer?
No.
What about the attachments?
No, none of the attachments.
Because I thought even if you didn't have the stand mixer, you could probably get the attachments to work if you attach them to, like, a power drill or something.
I think I got the food processor, maybe.
That's all right.
It's pretty good. Cuisinart.
Is that a Cuisinart?
Yeah. Yeah. I didn't want any of the – I kept the dishes for a while. Yeah. It's weird when I left him, so it was like – and I would researched, like, what do you do when you get divorced? Like,
yeah.
I'm Googling it.
Yeah.
And, like, everything I read would be,
so,
like,
steal.
Yeah. You know, if you're the one ending it, you're going to feel guilty. So you're going to give more to the person. And then a year later, you're going to be like, why the fuck did I let them have so much? I mean, it felt we didn't have much to divide up. So we divided up things.
And the
dividing up conversation probably was one of the worst days of my life. I mean, it's really so fucking sad. I mean, I was with him for 10 years. It was so sad and so painful and just, like, so still – the conversation was so, like just the rage underneath was just – we were just like, all right, I don't fucking care. You can have it. I mean, it was awful.
Yeah.
It was awful.
I could almost see, like, it being easier to, like, let's throw everything away.
Some people do that.
I believe it.
Some people just – I know I have a friend who lives in an incredible house.
Mm-hmm.
That was, like, newly remodeled, like, just fucking great. And it was, like, a couple that, like, got married, and then 6 months in, it fell apart, and
yeah.
they just left. And then now he rents this really cool house.
I feel like I have
sad divorce.
I feel like I have to get a new couch every time I have a big breakup, because I'm like, I don't want to sit on this fucking bad luck, awful couch.
Yeah, stuff like that is weird. But, you know, enough changes. I mean, I remember he stayed in the apartment that we had lived in for a really long time, and I just couldn't understand that. I'd be like, I wouldn't be able to stay here. Like, but he chose to stay there, and I actually have no idea what he's doing or where he is.
It's probably a fucking sweet man cave now. Probably a
beanbag
chair.
I don't think he lives there anymore.
No.
Plus, you get to have the, you know, sort of the wind blowing through your hair, and you can set up anywhere. You just park it and, you know, hook up there's sewer and electrical. Maybe you find a good RV park, you hook sewer and electrical, and you put out that awning. And then there's this whole community of RVers that, you know what I mean?
It's great.
Yeah.
Are you in the Good Sam Club?
What?
It's a club for RV enthusiasts. Who just like to support each other and hang out, be friends, cook franks and beans, that kind of thing.
That sounds like something I actually would like.
I guess I'm assuming, I don't know a lot about divorce, I just assumed that you got a Winnebago.
I got half a Winnebago. We share it.
Which half?
The back half.
Yeah. You
know? It's amazing that you guys...
I know what's up.
And it's really amazing. I mean, just a kind of a testament to you sticking to your guns is that you guys can travel America in a Winnebago and not keep up with each other, like not have any idea what the other one is up to.
It's weird because, like, I'm revealing things I've never really said before, but
we have a reputation for bringing that out of people.
I really hope he doesn't listen to this.
Chances are low, not a popular show.
But we really...
So if there's a time... time to be very raw. Yeah, I mean, on this program,
you do not want to do it with Marc Maron because everyone listens to that.
No, no, I wouldn't do that. No. But this, I'll tell you his name and his address.
Sure,
you know, what's going to happen? No one, you know. No, I just to be for the record, I never wanted him to die.
Sure, yes,
that was a joking thing I thought of, but I think what it really was a feeling of wanting to escape and being unhappy and not knowing what to do. But unfortunately, we had a really bad breakup and we just have never spoken again.
Wow.
And it's very weird to me. And I sometimes will be like, I want to reach out to him and just be like, we're cool, right? You know, but I know we're not. I know we're not.
Sure.
I know. And I knew going into it, he probably would, that it would be this way. I had to be ready for that. Like, because I just know him and he doesn't forgive. I mean, not that he's an unforgiving person, but just he just doesn't. When someone would fuck him over, or not even when someone would piss him off, they would just be dead to him. He's one of the, he's a Italian Catholic, like from Philly, like they're dead to me.
Yeah.
Is he, and I know I'm dead to him.
We said that we weren't going to say your ex-husband's name, but is it Rocky Balboa?
It's Rocky Balboa.
Okay.
You know, a funny thing about I mean, I feel
so you can see the you know, the trouble with that.
It's,
I feel like the being cool with your ex thing is a talent that I learned so late in life. Like I, you know, my first handful of relationships are, you know, oh, we don't speak, and if we see each other in public, it's weird. Like, but that's like a skill that I feel like I've learned and gotten pretty good with is like breaking up with someone in a nice way, and then, you know, having some sort of friendship, whether it's close or, you know, you can see them out without it
destroying your night. That's what you want. I have that with guys that I had dated after him.
Yeah.
Like, we're cool.
And I feel like I, you know, I think everybody, this is a common thing, is people talking about like wanting to like re-have sex with the first person they ever had sex with. Because like, oh, I'm like so much better at it now. I know all this sex stuff. I was probably fucking shitty at it before. So let's, you know, can we get together and re-have sex with each other so I can, you know, show off a little bit. I feel like I want to re-break up with people. Because I'm like, I can do this better.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. You know, I should, I can, Mulligan, can we?
I have horrible regrets about the way we broke up.
Sure.
But I also have things that he never was... I mean, he blamed me.
Sure.
100%. You know, even though at first he was like,
well, you're
yeah,
a woman
is...
and you have menses. So I get it. I get it.
Because he, you know, I did it wrong. I broke up with him in the wrong way. And then I gave him the fuel he needed to put together a narrative of Sarah's a psycho who dumped me and fucked me over. And, you know, in a way, I don't know. I'm like, I never got a thank you.
Yeah,
you know,
oh, wow.
I never got, oh, thank you for the story, because I had to go tell everybody in my life that I just wasn't in love with him anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a really hard conversation to have with your family. And, you know, people want you to have real reasons. I mean, legally, they want you to have real reasons.
Sure.
Like, oh, did he beat
you? He lost the big fight.
Yeah. Did he beat you? No. Is he gay? No. Did he cheat on you? No. Did he, you know, and like... But it just was not the right relationship for me, you know. But I don't know. I hope he's good. I hope he's good. But
is his name at Rachetacular?
No.
Okay.
Is that someone?
That's someone from our. That's someone
that
from
fan?
Our. That's someone from our Reddit.
Is it's your one Reddit person?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, no,
Loth Reaper.
These are the people who listen to our show.
Yeah.
There's only a couple of them.
But yeah, he blocked me out of his life completely, so I don't know. I only know like snippets of information. Like I think he may have moved. I don't know.
Have you trained a new fighter?
He is. He's training a young black man.
And it's gonna seem like a cash in, but it's actually gonna be pretty good. I think it's gonna have a lot of heart and a lot of really entertaining performances in it.
Yeah.
Do you use Facebook to like check in? Is that something that have done?
Okay. So it's been an interesting experience of like, cause he blocked me almost immediately.
Sure.
And his whole family blocked me. And then But there's ways, you know, to check up on someone.
Like the app Waze.
Waze.
You get a map to their house.
And you say, where does this person live? And then you just sit outside their house for a while.
Sure. You can stop at a KFC along the way. It'll give you a little ad you can click.
You wear a diaper just in case.
You got to wear a diaper.
If you see them with a new girl, you have to press that little ghost.
Yeah, sure.
To report it, because otherwise you're not going to get Waze points.
Yeah, like there was one person in his life that like he was close to that like didn't block me. So I would just sort of check her profile for a while in the hopes of a picture. I mean, like literally I had no idea what he was doing. And that wouldn't give me much. But milestones like, oh, his sister got married. Oh, or his sister had a kid or – oh, like just profile pictures, like because there was a while where like I could see the profile picture, but not anything on the page. But if you don't, you know, there's different ways of block. Like there's different levels of blocking and privacy on Facebook. And then I, through a friend of mine, like mutual friend of ours, told me who he was dating.
Mm-hmm.
And then I kind of like started stalking her page, but like we weren't friends and she had everything private, but I could see her profile picture. So if her profile picture featured him, I would know something. Like,
right. Sure.
You know, and it's just curiosity. I'm, you know, and like it was a very traumatic breakup for me. I mean, it was like a major event in my life, like so major. And I just wanted... we didn't have a lot of closure, so it was like it just sometimes information feels like you're somehow getting through it.
That closure thing is so weird. It's like what is this for? You know, you feel like you're like this has equal chance to make me feel shitty or better, and I don't know what it's going to be until I look at the fucking.
I mean, I spent my entire 20s with him, and then nothing. Mm. You know, it's very strange, like. And the thought that we would never speak again. I mean, you know, sometimes I'm like, I should reach out to him. And then I'm like, but no, he shut me the fuck out of his life. And this is what he gets. Now, he has full access to me because I am podcasting.
Sure.
I tweet what I'm doing. And, you know, it's all part of my, like, comedy.
Yeah.
But he doesn't actually know what's going on in my life because I don't really, like, especially now, I don't project what's happening personally as much as I used to because I had a podcast where I would say like every week like, well, this is what happened.
I like your podcasting voice that you use,
thanks,
by the way.
So that was welcome.
Struggling with some seasonal depression.
Let me tell you about my interaction at the bodega. Like it really just
Cleveland, you're on the line with Secretary Kissinger.
But yeah, like he knows what's going on in my life if he wants to.
Okay.
I don't have that option.
Sure.
You know,
can I suggest?
Yeah.
And I'm not a therapist.
Mm.
I'm not an IT consultant.
Mm.
I'm not a professional athlete. I'm not a chef.
Mm-hmm.
What was I talking about?
Just things you're not.
You want me to.
You're not a therapist, but you have some advice.
You have some
emotional advice.
Check out what kind of LinkedIn endorsements he has.
Mm.
That's my tip for you.
Oh, get into the LinkedIn thing.
What kind of endorsements does he have on LinkedIn?
Mm. I've never really been on LinkedIn. Well, can I tell you one thing that happened that was really
amazing? It's great for networking.
Yeah.
This is a cautionary tale.
Please.
If you're doing reconnaissance on the internet, just trying to get a morsel.
Yeah,
I just want to know that he's okay.
Just
I just
want to
know
num-num.
What his life is. What is his job?
Just
like,
a little
what is he
num-num.
Doing? You know, like...
How's his mom?
So, yeah, seriously, like, I want to know.
Is he still a part of that adult kickball league?
Yes, like, yeah. And I, because I don't hate him, you know?
Sure.
Like, I, like, still think of him fondly. So, he was dating this girl. I mean, he might still be dating her. I'm not sure. And for a while, I could, like, see maybe her Instagram or something, and then, like, I got blocked. I was like, ooh, she must have figured out who I was and, like, maybe blocked me. Or maybe she did some app to see. I don't know. I'm like, she knows. But then one time.
Yeah. Like, there's a mystery app that tells someone when I'm. Yeah.
So my only way of accessing information would be, and it still is to go. Because I. See, here's the thing. He had blocked me across all platforms.
Sure.
But on Facebook, I deactivated my account a couple years ago and started like a very private page and then have a fan page. So because you have to have a private page to run a fucking fan page. It's like social media makes me crazy. So but then I was like, oh, he doesn't know because it's a different name. And I'm like, he hasn't blocked this account.
You
so
could
I can at least
get in
see
there.
The picture and the location. Like, because most people, I think, nowadays have gotten smart on Facebook and they keep everything private unless you're friends with them.
Sure.
So you can only see, like, their profile picture or whatever. Mm-hmm. But that was more than I had before. So I was all excited. Like, oh, I can see at least a little bit.
Right. You can see what Dave and Buster sees.
And I could see her. Yeah. Like, I saw her page and it was, like, a picture of them holding hands. And I was like, oh, my God. They're together still. Like, you know, I'm just looking for anything.
Sure.
And I noticed one day I was on my phone and I was like, it had been a while. And by the way, I do this maybe once every 6 months now. I mean, it's been, like, 7 years. Like, I don't do this often. But every once in a while, I'll be like, what's he doing? I don't know. And I'll just Google his name just to make sure he's not dead or something, you know. And I was looking at her Facebook profile just to see, like, do they still live in Brooklyn? Do they, you know. And I saw that a little check had been marked off and it was like friendship requested, like pending, friendship pending. Like, at some point, I had accidentally clicked the, like, plus sign.
Oh, no.
And I don't know when. Because it was, like, and it could have been, and, like, so she knew. She probably knew, like, it's so embarrassing. But it's, like, what? You're not, you know, what are you going to do? Like, you have full access to my life. Like, you can just literally look at anything I do and know where I am, basically, generally, like, what I'm doing, what my career is up to. But you don't have any – I have no information about you. So, like, can you blame me? I'm curious.
Sure.
You
know?
She's just curious, folks.
Just curious.
You're listening to Just Curious with Sarah Schaefer.
Yeah, I'm just curious. Like, where are you? Like,
when you – the accidental – because, I mean, Facebook is a bad website. It has it's not a fun one to be on.
It isn't.
Minefield.
And it has so many little – nubbins and boopins.
Yep.
When you're scrolling around, and if you know you're not, I'm not a graceful man.
Yeah. If you're all thumbs,
I'm all thumbs. I'm bad on my feet, bad online. Jordan Morris, 2016. I am so like okay. So a something that comes with like internet dating is like you know going to this like. It's a little step. You're like, oh, we meet on our app that we're using.
Yeah.
And then you be friends on Facebook. And that's like a little step. It's like we're taking this a little more seriously.
Opening yourself up a little more.
I want to see. Right. And then, you know, there's the cursory. I want to look down all their photos.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
You want to see what kind of endorsements they have.
I want to see. Yeah. You want to see who they're hanging with, vacations they've took, weddings they've been to.
Yeah.
And I feel like I want to do it with jeweler's tools because if you click that fucking 3-year old picture, you're scum.
Have you seen the meme? It's like somebody like a jewelry robber like in the lasers, you know, like when in a heist.
Sure, Catherine Zeta Jones in the trailer for Entrapment.
She's like she's in all the lasers.
Yeah.
And it's the meme is like when you're like 3 years deep.
Oof.
In your ex's like Instagram, and you're trying not to like I'm not gonna set off the alarm.
Yeah,
it's so I've done that for sure. Like, but more on like friends that like maybe we have an estranged relationship. And,
going
deep into their you know, and I accidentally like the worst is if you like accidentally like some like when you there's so many deep levels you can stalk someone.
Mm-hmm.
So like you can look at their Instagram. Well, then you can look at their tagged photos.
Mm.
Then you can look at the comments on the tagged photo. Like, you can go deep. And so if you accidentally like something that's on one of those deeper layers,
it's
really fucking embarrassing.
You weren't just looking at the photos. You were looking on the comments of the photos and are therefore a scumbag. And also, did this happen at 2 a.m.?
Yeah. on a Saturday?
Sure, right. Yeah. Why were you doing this?
I recently visited my middle school.
Mm-hmm.
The head of my middle school is a girl I went to middle school with, which is very interesting.
Isn't
she and
weird?
I exchanged emails before I visited, and she asked me how my middle school girlfriend was doing, who I also dated briefly separately in high school. We also went to high school together. We went to a prom together.
Mm-hmm.
Not only do I not know. There's literally no information about her. I was like, how is she doing?
Mm-hmm.
I Googled her name. There's no information about her in the last 11 years.
Oh, isn't that interesting? Some people are really off the grid.
Yeah.
They're dead.
What is she doing? How is she not on any of these things?
But she might have gotten married.
She has a very distinctive
name. She might be married.
That's true.
I tried to find a pen pal that I had. I had a real live pen pal. Like, okay, so remember chain letters?
Sure.
You know? They were like legit. You would get it in the mail and it'd be like, you better copy this letter and send it to 10.
Oh, yeah.
And then there were kind where you would send it to the stranger. Mm-hmm. You would create a little list of different people's addresses. And then you'd send them a letter. And it was a way to like meet people all over the country or whatever. Yeah. Well, there was this girl on this list. I got a letter in the mail from
That's actually how I met my wife.
Mm. Oh, that's so great. A chain letter.
It's actually how I met your mother.
The chain letter, I started up a pen pal ship with this girl in, like, Ohio, Anna Boudinot.
Yeah.
Boudinot. I don't know. It was, like, a French name.
It's pronounced an octonaut.
Anna Octonaut. Right. And we had, like, we would write, like, novels to each other. We'd write short stories and send them to each other. We'd send big envelopes of things and tape. We would record our voices. And I, like, years later, like, had forgotten about her. And was like, I want to find her. And I could, and I was like, I can now. Isn't that amazing? And then I couldn't, and it was really sad.
I can't find a. I've looked for a close childhood friend, Travis Bridenstine, for a while. Cannot find him on anything, and he doesn't seem like an off the grid guy. But maybe when he went to college, he did a. You know, he
could have gotten married, took in his wife's name.
He could have
taken.
I miss him. Miss
took
him,
it. Excuse me.
Miss him every day. Anyway,
Travis.
Travis Bridenstine. Misha Big B.
I put.
We should get Mark Maron to mention his name on WTF.
Sure.
And then people
would hear it. Yeah.
I just did a video that was out this week for Fusion, that network. And it was
This is a hot new network for millennials.
Yeah. And I did a little thing. Like, it's very, like, a cute little internet video with lots of jump cuts and graphics and things. And it was me talking about social media and how it's, like, bad for your mental health. And. Like, but how you can't get rid of it, but because you need it kind of for your business, you know, whatever. And somebody left a really interesting comment, and I was like, that's such put in such a nice way, or just a eloquent way. He was like, you know, I quit social media for 1 year because it was making me depressed completely. And he said, and I actually missed it, and it was sad because it has changed the way we interact with people in our real life. He's like, so people are so dependent on social media now that, like, he goes, I would miss out on things. I would miss out on social events.
Sure.
People rely on social media to keep up with each other's lives. So they don't call you or text you and say, how are you?
Right. They assume you have seen the
update.
Picture that they put up of them at the Blue Bayou at Disneyland, for instance.
Or that you got engaged or you're having a baby. Like, people rely on social media. So he was like,
maybe they had that nice Monte Cristo at the Blue Bayou.
Or on Splash Mountain.
Or on Splash Mountain. Sure. Having a nice Monte Cristo.
Sure. You're maybe on Tom Sawyer Island.
Yeah. Having a nice Monte. You could get a Monte Cristo anywhere at Disneyland.
Yeah.
But yeah, so it was very. I thought that sentiment was like, it's true. It's like we are, you know, we social media. There's definitely going to need to be a balance somehow. Mm-hmm.
Guys, we've talked about this for an hour, 15 minutes on the Octonauts, 45 minutes on this.
Yeah.
We'll be back in just a second on Jordan Jesse Go.
I'm Allegra Ringo, a dog owner.
And I'm Renee Colbert, a dog wanter. And we host a show called Can I Pet Your Dog? The podcast for unapologetic dog lovers.
You can find us every Tuesday on MaximumFun.org or on iTunes.
So, now what is this? Is it just a podcast where all we do is talk about dogs?
Sort of. We definitely have a segment called Dogs We Met This Week, where we tell you about, you know, dogs we met this week. We also have a segment called Dog Heroes, as well as Cool Dog Tech and Stupid Dog Tech.
We also have some of your favorite celebrities. Lin-Manuel Miranda, who did Hamilton, has been a guest. We've got Leslie Margarita.
We've had Nicole Byer, Ann Wheaton, all the best dog-related celebrities. So check us out every Tuesday on MaximumFun.org or on iTunes.
Can I pet your dog?
Can I pet your dog?
Renee and Allegra.
C-I-P-Y-D. Yeah! Love me.
It's Jordan, Jesse Go. I am Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart.
Jordan Morse, boy detective.
Sarah Schaefer. Canadian. You know,
she's too dignified. She's
you
a dignified young woman. She's a dignified young woman. Hey, we got a sponsor on this week's program, Jordan. Jordan, Jesse Go, supported in part by our friends at Warby Parker. A new concept in eyewear.
Prescription glasses starting at $95, including lenses.
Hey, Sarah Schaefer, nice glasses. Where did you get those?
I actually did get them at Warby Parker.
That sounds like a great value for glasses that attractive.
Well, I didn't pay for them.
Okay. So, well, fair enough.
Well, if you,
someone else
if
did.
Someone wanted to pay for them, that'd just be $95, including lenses.
Let's
and
just
you
say
can use...
a boyfriend who doesn't have to buy an engagement ring.
Actually, no, it was MTV.
Ah, our friends at
we
Music
were doing
Television.
Wardrobe, and they wanted me to experiment with different glasses because of the glare. And I ended up buying Warby Parker. They bought them for me, and that was very nice of them. And these have been my signature frames for probably going on 3 years now.
Well, let me say this: Warby Parker is not only great if you need a great value on eyeglasses. It's great if you need signature frames for an ill-fated but hilarious MTV comedy news program.
Yeah.
And hey, they've got a home try-on program.
Yep.
You can order 5 pairs of glasses to be shipped directly to you for free. You can try all the frames on, get a feel for them, and get feedback from others.
Aunts, uncles, celebrities.
Sure.
Yeah.
You mail them back to Warby Parker.
Clerics.
Sure.
Yeah. Claire. Yeah. Claire, you'll get feedback from Claire.
Claire
is so stylish.
Maybe you have a priest named Claire who is both a Claire and a cleric.
Oh, wow. They let women be priests now?
It depends on the denomination, Sarah.
Sure.
Look, I'm spiritual, not religious.
Hey, guys, go to warbyparker.com/JJGo and order your free home try-ons. warbyparker.com/JJGo.
Warby Parker makes your experience completely risk-free. There's free shipping all around. warbyparker.com/JJGo for your new signature frames.
Oh, yeah.
Jordan, speaking
of
free shipping, if you go to putthisonshop.com right now and use the code FULLCHORT, you get free shipping on any of a broad variety of gentlemen's accoutrements.
Just for gentlemen? There's no women's stuff?
I think there's a lot of things ladies might like too, but it is oriented towards gentlemen.
Okay.
Look, anyone wants a silver Vesta case that's shaped like a pair of trousers from the 1880s. Vesta case is where you keep your matches so they stay dry.
Okay.
That could be for boys or girls. Look, anyone, everybody wants that.
Totally.
Go to putthisonshop.com. Use the code FULLCHORT. I just put up a bunch of gorgeous woolen blankets, which... Now, that's something that anyone from any gender can appreciate.
You're talking to a real blanket head over here.
Oh, really? You're a blanket?
Oh, my God. No, I'm actually
What do you
not
like?
Joking.
Throws? What do you like? Throws?
I
do you like a mohair?
I fucking love blankets.
You like a Pendleton?
Oh, my God, a Pendleton.
We got
a
few Pendletons.
Mm-hmm. I want a Pendleton so bad. But I like to make my own blankets.
Oh.
I also, like, when you see me in a home store, like, or any, you know, any kind of boutique that sells home goods of any kind.
Like a home goods.
You will see me, like a home goods.
Mm-hmm.
But especially in the boutique-y, like, you know.
Like a boutique-y kind of.
Like, you know, boutique-y.
Like it's boutique-y.
You know, it's
like a real kind of tiki.
Like home goods, but more boutique-y.
It's like kinda tiki, like with a boo on the front.
Sure. Like a tiki tie, kind of, you know, like a tropical.
When you see me go into one of these stores, you will, it's compulsive. I will touch and feel up every blanket in the place. I will just be like.
What kind of blanket are you looking for? What's your dream blanket?
I love all types. I love a throw. I love a quilt. I have one of my prized possessions. When I moved to LA, I carried it physically on the plane with me. Because if anything was to happen to it in the move, I would never be okay with it. It's a quilt made out of my mom's clothes. She's dead. So it's extremely important to me.
I'm sorry to hear about that.
That's okay.
The quilt, I mean.
I mean, it's never going to be okay. But but the quilt is amazing. I mean, it really worked out. no, the quilt is like my prized possession. But it couldn't have been better because I love blankets. And to have a way to remember her and her to be around me. It's just so great. I have one of my other one is called Zigzag. Zigzag is a blanket that a family friend made for me when I
sort
went to college.
Sort of a special blanket for dank nugs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, you know, I'm not going to lie that I had a blankie when I was little. And
I still have my blankie.
Well, my from blankie when I was is little. Gone.
Well, and I've got mine on hand at any time I need some comfort.
Sure.
Just my blankie, pull out my blanket's cold cubby. Just pull it out. Pull
blankie,
it out. Put it between my fingers.
Blankie was, yeah, put it between your fingers. That was the whole point.
I like to put mine down in the webbing.
Yes. Mm. My blankie comforting. Was at this point, when I had it as a baby blanket, it was some sort of knit, and then it had a satin edge.
Sure.
And all I had left of it, I had tattered it up of overuse.
And tattered it up to some extent.
Sure. Yeah.
Wild spring break. Yeah. Mm-hmm. A wild spring break.
And it was just a little strip of satin just all gnarled up and knotted up. And it was like about a foot long. And I would carry it like in between my fingers. And then I sucked my thumb. I actually still do, which is a whole other conversation.
Mm-hmm.
But I would suck my thumb and hold blankie up to my nose. And the smell of blankie was just like probably like a boob in my mind, like reminiscent of like skin and like
it
you
is
know.
Boobish, yeah.
Yeah, and blankie got left in a hotel and I was devastated. And then when I was older.
When was this? 3-4 years ago?
Yeah. No, it was in Miami. It was in a hotel in Richmond, actually. My mom was so into Christmas, and she would have us go and stay downtown in the nice hotel in Richmond because there were lights down there and the hotel was decorated all nice. Mm-hmm. And we would just go downtown and stay in a hotel for a night and then go see Santa Claus the next morning at Tallheimer's, which was like, or Miller and Rhodes. Those were like old department stores.
When you say old department stores, you mean whites only?
Definitely whites only. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But yeah, I left Blankie in a hotel, and it occurred to me when I was like much older, probably in my 20s, that my mom may have just taken Blankie because it was definitely time.
Sure,
this was
a tough love situation.
Yeah, it was like what if she made me think that we had lost it?
Yeah,
and I thought my first thought was
it's funny
her.
That you mention it because Cubby. For a while, was living on a farm where she could run more.
Sure.
Now that I think about it. Yeah.
Oh, poor Cubby. But yeah, I thought, at first I was mad, and then I was like, but that would mean she still has Blankie. And I was so hopeful that she had lied to me.
Right.
That's how bad I wanted Blankie back in my mid-20s. And I went into her room, and I was like, Mom, I need you to tell me the truth right now. And she was like, what? What have I got?
He's your real father.
Whoa, okay. Oh. I had a blanket question.
I can't even tell you what it is because it's like so crazy. Like, but my mom yelled out something really crazy like that in an argument I had with her. Like,
sure.
When I was like 21 years old, she was like, she yelled out something.
I'm from another time.
No. It was something about like her past.
No.
And, like that she was just like, because I was saying, she knew. That because I got divorced after she died.
I stole you at a bus depot.
She did.
I used to be in the Kiss Army.
Yeah, I'm not gonna stop guessing.
I was a general.
Sure. Oh, you're getting warm. Stop guessing. It's making me nervous.
Okay.
But no, she...
General in the Kiss Army? Admiral in the Kiss Army.
Yeah.
I guess an admiral would be in the Kiss Navy.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, let's be right about it now.
Sure. Rear Admiral Starchild.
Yeah, I went into a room and asked her about Blankie, and she said, no, we really did lose Blankie, and my heart sank.
Yeah.
And all those feelings just came rushing back.
Did it smell like boobs in there?
Yeah. No.
Well, warbyparker.com/jj.
Oh, my God, I forgot. Sorry.
We'll be back in just a second on Jordan, Jesse, Go. La, la, la.
You guys, I'm so excited to introduce to you my new baby, Getting Curious with Jonathan Van Ness. This is going to be a really fun look at things that I find curious, whether it's a menstrual cup, it might be the Romanoff family, it might be fracking, it could be Carly Fiorina. I don't even know. Who knows? It's going to be whatever I think is interesting. I can't wait to bring it to you guys. We're going to be bringing in content experts. I'm going to be learning the things. It's only going to take about 30 minutes for you to expand your baby brains with me and have a super fun time. So I can't wait to see you on our first episode of Getting Curious.
It's Jordan, Jesse, Go. I'm Jesse Thorne, the voice of the millennial generation.
Jordan Morris, boy detective.
Sarah Schaefer, queen.
Yes.
Yes, queen.
Yes.
Yes, queen.
Yes.
Queen of my life, queen of everything. Yes.
Queen Bey.
Sure.
Yes.
Oh, wait, that's Beyonce, but I am Beyonce.
Oh, cool.
Inside.
That's lovely to meet you. Mm. I've always wanted to meet Beyonce. This is a real thrill. Real thrill for me.
The people that most people know as, the person that most people know as Beyonce is Beyonce on the outside. Mm-hmm. Inside, Willard Scott. Mm. A lot of people don't know that.
Right. People don't realize that. Celebrities switch bodies a lot. It's something that they give you when you get verified on Twitter.
Yeah, when you get into the Illuminati, you can
you're allowed
you can
to switch
jump into
with other
different
celebs.
Flesh vessels.
Is
they
this
call
another?
Them.
Was this another wardrobe thing at your MTV show?
Yeah, they were like, come into this room, and they told you how to do it, and you know, you have both have to hold a skull at the same time, and then you say some stuff, and then you. Switch.
Alas, poor York.
I was referencing that movie. What was that movie?
Hamlet?
No. There was this body switching movie with the father and the son, like Freaky Friday, but it was somewhere in the – it was Judd
– Nelson?
Judd – no.
Hirsch.
Yeah? No?
One of the Judds.
No, I don't know.
Wynonna
Judd. Ashley.
No, I'm really bad with celebrity names, so I don't like to say anything.
So this was a like an 80s fun. An 80s body switch movie.
It might
movie.
Have been Fred Savage.
Okay.
And they both held like a skull and they were like, and I can't believe I don't know what the fuck this is.
Don't know. Sorry. Mm, well, you don't really know what it is either. So don't yell at us.
When something momentous happens to you, like you grab a skull with your dad, who's Judd Hirsch, and you go,
it's not Judd Hirsch. You're going to make fun of me when it is.
Switch bodies.
I'll go. It was.
This is why we need
it. Toby Maguire.
See, this is why we need a presidential candidate to direct all this shit at, because.
Judge Reinhold.
Judge Reinhold.
I wasn't that far off.
That was close.
Pretty close.
Judd is close to Judge.
Yeah.
What was it called?
Have you been watching Judd Joe Brown?
Yes, I have been watching Judd Joe Brown. I love it. It's every day at 3, you turn on Judd Joe Brown.
That's fun to me. When something momentous happens to you, we ask you to call us at 206-984-4FUN. Jordan, what's that number?
206-984-4FUN.
For our segment, Momentous Occasions, let's have one momentous occasion this week.
The movie was called Vice Versa, 1988.
Thank you.
Seemed odd that they would put the
Hi, Jordan.
Year in the title. Guys, shut up.
Hi, Jordan, Jesse, and guest. Calling
shut
you with a
up.
Momentous occasion that happened over my family family Christmas. We were having a discussion about road trips.
Wait, pause it, Brian.
My grandmother started to talk about...
Nothing momentous ever happens to me, but I something momentous happened, and I thought I got to mention this on our segment, Momentous Occasions.
Please.
I was driving in Highland Park, California. Mm-hmm. It's a neighborhood in Los Angeles / city. I don't understand why Los Angeles neighborhoods are also cities. I have not figured that out 9 years in. Mm-hmm. There was a big conversion van, like a 70s conversion van, like the kind that would have... like an Aztec dude painted on the side
sure.
or like a wizard. Mm-hmm. And there was a middle-aged woman leaning fully out of the passenger side window. Like, I'm talking about full torso out the window. Okay. And, like, she was husky. Mm-hmm. She's like a huskier middle-aged woman. And in one hand... she had a hairbrush, and in the other hand, just a 3-foot-long wig, and she was just brushing the shit out of it.
As they were driving?
Yeah. It was parked.
Okay.
But she was just like, honey, I'm not going to brush the wig inside the van.
Yeah. Gonna get wig leavings all over the place.
Yeah, just gone on up out of there. Okay, let's take this call. It's pretty momentous, I thought. I don't know. I don't ever leave the house. Like,
hi, Jordan, Jesse, and guest. Calling in with a momentous occasion that happened over my family family Christmas. We were having a discussion about road trips, and my grandmother started to talk about one of her friends who had just bought a doll to put in the side of her car so she could drive in HOV lanes on the East Coast. As she was, as Graham was describing the doll, it became more and more apparent it isn't like just a mannequin that you stick in. And then Grandma said, you know, it's one of those blow-up dolls that you get at the truck stop so the truckers can put it in the HOV lane. It became pretty apparent that my grandma's friend had bought a blow-up sex doll to put as a passenger in her car to use the HOV lane. So somehow our family managed to not break out laughing, but the second we got into the car, we all looked at each other and went, was Grandma talking about sex doll? Sure enough. Have a good day. Bye.
You know what would be a good thing to put in the passenger seat of an HOV lane?
Hmm.
Three talking animals standing on each other's shoulders, but they're wearing a trench coat.
Oh, yeah. That would be fun.
That's the way to do it.
On the subject of older people maybe not being, you know, keen on something.
Truck shops. Truck stop savvy.
Yeah, truck stop jizz receptacles.
Right.
It's every day on at midnight before old Chris Hardwick gets out there and does his rehearsal, the stage manager, who's a delightful man, a lovely man, a nice old kind of Hollywood lifer. Mm-hmm. He gets up there and just kind of does a quick run through of the script, and just, you know, so for cues mostly yeah. It's like this video plays then, this graphic comes up then, and he's got one of these voices. He's got one of these I'm an old Hollywood lifer voices, and mm-hmm. you know, he's seen a lot of shit and he's got a million stories and he's just a great old guy.
Well, you want to talk about Burt Reynolds? Let's talk about Burt
I know,
Reynolds.
Burt. I was at Musso and Frank's with Burt Reynolds and, you know, right. And there was a line in the script that mentioned fuck boys.
Mm-hmm.
And it was,
that's F-U-C-C-B-O-I-S.
Mm. Yes, and it was spelled that way in the script.
Right.
And he pronounced it. Fuck boss.
Oh. Oh, it's
the
so
traditional
funny.
French pronunciation
fuck boss.
Of fuck bois. Fuck bois. Beautiful pronunciation, too. Beautiful. You can tell he's maybe
originally from Montreal, maybe?
Sure, I don't know.
You know fuck what's bois. Great? I'll tell you the things that are really great about Montreal that they mm-hmm. don't talk about. Because
sure.
people talk about continental and all this different mm-hmm. stuff. Number one, they have great bagels. They have a special kind of smaller bagel mm-hmm. that's really amazing. Okay, that's number one. Number two, great restaurants mm-hmm. in Montreal. A lot of people don't know that about Montreal, but really great restaurants. And the third thing, of course, is the fuck bois.
The fuck bois.
Yeah.
Fuck bois.
Get some great fuck bois.
Mm-hmm. They have gravy on them.
Yeah, exactly. And cheese curds.
Cheese curds. Yeah, it's really tasty.
It's nice squeaky cheese curds, mm-hmm. you know? Do you know what we're talking about, Sarah?
What?
Fuckboys.
I know what a fuckboy is. I deal with fuckboys all day long off the internet.
Mm. That's what the internet is made up of, a series of fuckboys.
Yeah.
God. We'll be back in just a second on Jordan Jesse Go. La, 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 la. Jordan Jesse Go. I'm Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart.
Jordan Morris, boy detective.
Sarah Schaefer.
Hey, guess what, Jordan?
Hmm.
We just announced we're... Max von Con East is on.
Do it.
It's happening.
Get in there.
East. Labor Day weekend.
Get in there.
You know about regular Max von Con, which has a I secret do. Lineup. So we're not going to talk about why you know, Sarah.
Okay.
But now people who can do the math, you know.
Sure.
Those people who've done a lot of escape rooms, mm-hmm. they can probably figure it out.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Escape room enthusiasts, mm-hmm. plus paintballers could probably figure it out, too.
Yeah. Also, if I don't know, you do bar trivia once a week.
Yeah.
Can I tell you about how I found out about what Max von Con, that it existed?
How did you find out? Yeah.
I was in an airport in maybe somewhere in America mm-hmm. traveling.
And you saw a group of the best looking five people you'd ever seen in your
uh-huh.
life.
And I thought, where are you going?
Mm-hmm.
And I want to go with you.
Mm-hmm.
No, I was in an airport traveling for comedy of some kind. And someone came up to me, a girl, and she was like, are you Sarah Schaefer? And I was like, yeah. I mean, and definitely at this point, not getting recognized very much. In fact, almost never had it ever happened. And I was like, yeah. And she was like, oh, my God, I'm a huge fan of your podcast. And then we started talking about that, and then she was like, And we just were having small talk. She's like, oh, I just came from Max FunCon. And I was like, what is that? And she told me, and I was like, that sounds fucking awesome.
Yeah.
What?
Cool.
Well, yeah. Who knows why.
Sure.
And then I like,
looked
so it
interesting.
Up and, you know.
Sure. Yeah.
Max FunCon East, we're going to have deposits in the next couple of weeks. And then tickets are going to go on sale fully in April. But just so you know, it's on, like Donkey Kong.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope that you'll come. Mostly because I don't want to lose a bunch of money on it.
Hmm.
But also because it'll be fun if you come.
Sure.
It's about as fun as it gets.
Sure. Yeah.
Max FunCon East. Sarah Schaefer, let's say I'm a... let's be honest. Let's say I'm a young fuckboy.
Sure.
Yeah.
And I'm interested in following you on social media. What would I go to? Like an at Sarah Schaefer, probably?
No.
No.
I'm at Sarah Schaefer 1.
Okay.
Because
at
that
Sarah Schaefer
was
2
at
was taken.
Time. Yeah. And I love 2. But no. This is the dumbest reason. I joined Twitter pretty early. After it became, you know, an app, or I mean, it wasn't, I don't even know if there were, after it was a thing.
Yeah.
After it became, alive. And, I didn't know that it was going to be a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
And I joined it and I chose the username Sarah Schaefer 1, even though Sarah Schaefer was available because Sarah Schaefer 1 was my AOL instant messenger
name.
Hey,
there you go.
Yeah.
And I wanted consistency.
Yeah.
Now looking back, what was I fucking thinking?
Yeah, that's why mine is BlazeBoy420, at BlazeBoy420.
Yeah. Jeez. You know? But I'm Sarah Schaefer 1 across all platforms. I'm on the Insta.
I think that's a fun branding element that you can lean into.
Snapchat.
Mm-hmm.
My Facebook fan page is been revamped recently.
Ooh.
I met someone from Facebook, and they were like, come here, and I'll show you some stuff. And it was creepy how quickly they were able to do things to my page. I was like, you were really in there, aren't you?
Sure.
And
you're like, can you tell me anything about my ex-husband?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I was like, can you get in there for me? Periscope.
Oh.
Sometimes, I don't Periscope as much
scoping?
As I used to. I love Periscope. I used to dance on Periscope.
Sounds
like
fun.
That sounds
like
fun.
I would set it up so I could see people's responses on my TV, but it was like, you couldn't see the TV. I had it all set up so I could dance and interact with people without being like right by the phone. And that was fun. I need Periscope more.
Yeah. I think we could all agree. You got
we could all probably really, all in 2016, like, we could all be Periscoping more than we are.
Get them. Sure.
I need to
them
exercise
scopes.
More. I need to drink less. Yep. I need to Periscope more.
It's time.
I'm almost 40.
The three pillars of a wonderful life.
Yeah.
More exercise.
I need to get a convertible.
Less alcohol. And, of course, a convertible.
Yeah.
Throw
it into gear, baby.
Sure. Top down.
Mm-hmm.
Sun's out. Buns out.
Wait, sun's
ass
out?
Up.
Buns out?
Yeah.
I ride in a convertible ass up.
Nice. Yeah.
Ooh, really?
Tits out, ass up. That's the way we like to drive
out,
a convertible.
Hands on my ankles.
Sure.
That sounds fun.
Dangerous.
It's not safe.
Fun and dangerous.
You don't have a lot of center of gravity.
Yeah, you crash
like
a lot.
That in the back of a convertible.
Mm-hmm. Okay, guys. I also want to mention one last little bit of business here. Max Fun Drive's really right around the corner.
Sure.
It's coming up in March.
Lots of fun shows.
Get ready to support MaximumFun.org because we're going to be relying on you. I'll never get my convertible.
Mm-hmm.
Much less my fuckboys.
Come on, fuckboys. We know you're out there.
Brian Fernandez, the producer on the board, laughing so loud his laughter pierces the soundproof booth. We always appreciate his enthusiasm. You can join us on Twitter and Facebook at Jesse Thorne, at Jordan_Morris. Use the hashtag JJGo over there. And, of course, on Reddit at MaximumFun.reddit.com, where you can meet Sarah's ex-husband, Law Threeper, and lots of other fun folks. Jordan, are you leaning into the microphone because you have something important to say?
Nope.
Good.
I like to give you visual cues that I'm about to do something, but then not do it. Keeps you on your toes.
Jordan just went, Henry.
Oh, no, I was just inhaling and holding up a finger. I have nothing to say. Yeah, go on Reddit. Cool.
We'll be back next week on Jordan, Jesse, Go.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported.